At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed...
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, November the 18th, 2021. It's the Beating the Book podcast Megapod for week number 11. In the National Football League. Gil Alexander, thank you so much for listening. Not just any regular Megapod, although Mikey is here, and Todd, Mike Palm, Derek Stevens Consigliere, the Vice President of Operations at Circus Sports. How you doing, Mikey?
I'm doing wonderful, wonderful. So excited. This is the show I look forward to the most.
Of course.
Out of the year.
All of us. And Todd Wishnev from his mom's cork attic somewhere outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. How you doing, Todd?
Hey.
Hey, he says. He's keeping it low because the audio is tough. The reason that we're so excited is for the second straight year, he has been so generous, kind enough to come on the show, on the Megapod, to do it with us. And this time in person at the D. We know him from the NFL Today, ABC's college football for so many years, the NBA on CBS. What am I missing? About 10 other sports.
College basketball. Very good college basketball.
He did,
to the end.
For goodness sakes, he's done the Olympics. He's done the U.S. Open. But today, these days, he's not only a founder of the Vegas Stats and Information Network, but he is the radio voice of the Las Vegas Raiders, the great Brent Musburger. Thank you, Brent.
Listen, I look forward to it because my ego gets massaged when Gil introduces me. You know, I just love this. After I get beat up by my wife, I love coming to this show. And plus the fact, Todd, I've got to tell you, I'm not doing well in the circuit contest. So I thought if I come and if I hang out with Todd and Gil and my friend Mike Baum over here, maybe I can get some winners this week. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe, although Todd has the records, and you may feel differently after he tells us what our records are. How'd we do last week and what are our season longs, Todd?
I'm actually 27-23 at Circa Million, which is not that great, but it's not going to pass. But anyways, we're not doing very well, Gilly Ice. Mikey Palm has come back to the pack, though, now. With an 0-3 last week, he is now 13-16-1. Gilly Ice is a half a game behind him at 13-17, and I am at 12-18, 1.5 games back. In the teasers, though,
yes.
I am leading at 6-4. Mikey's at 5-5, and Gilly is a half game back at 5-4-1.
Hey, Gil, thanks for inviting me. Yeah. I'm getting out of here. Yeah,
it has not.
Brent, just fade us.
But it is a testament to how the NFL preflop has
crazy.
Been so difficult this year.
I agree. I mean, I thought for sure that Tampa Bay was a good play because of how they came out of the bye week a year ago, and they got destroyed. I mean, what, two of the first three passes were intercepted on Tom Brady? I mean, I was busy getting ready for the debacle that turned out to be the Kansas City Chiefs. I also had a small play on the on my Raiders.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm biased. You should never pay attention to me on a Raider game. But But listen, I didn't see that coming. I mean, that was total destruction. And the Chiefs played maybe their best game of the year.
If DeSean Jackson just keeps running to the pylon, that's a different game, though.
How did you call that play? How did you call that play?
Well, honestly, go ahead, Ted.
No, why don't you go ahead? I'll say why I don't think he ran.
Well, obviously, you know, you watch as he juggles the ball and he pulls it in. So I had a nice catch going. You know, I was excited about the catch, all right? And actually, Lincoln Kennedy, my colleague, said, ball's on the ground, and realized that it had been punched out. So then I wasn't quite sure what had happened, but, you know, I've got the monitor right here, so I watched NBC's coverage. And I thought for a moment that he might have been confused about which direction
to move. It's the only explanation, right?
Yeah, Scott and I talked about it on the way home, and I said, Scott, is it possible that he forgot? And he said, Dad, I'm almost positive that's what happened to him. Because he got turned. All he has to do at that moment is take the straight line. The defender at the angle is going to get him on the ground. He's not going to get in the end zone, even though he's got good speed, because he's kind of restarting, and the kid coming is moving at full speed. So he's not going to reach the end zone. But he's going to give him great field position. That's the only thing I can – only thing –
it's the weirdest play I've ever seen.
Well, I think it was very simple. He was trying to juke the guy who was coming down the sideline at him. The Chiefs guy was going to get him, as Brent just mentioned. I think what he was trying to do was gather himself and juke that last guy coming so he could get in the end zone. And while doing that, he screwed himself.
Yeah, and the guy had an easy punch.
Yeah.
To get the ball out. But listen, my favorite play of the week was the offensive lineman grabbing the ball and going
Thursday night. You're right. It was Thursday
night.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Allen, whatever his name was. And when it happened, because I thought maybe they had a tackle eligible, they'd sent in an extra lineman, you know. I didn't realize. And then suddenly you hear Troy May say he's ineligible. You know, and I realized he had to have grabbed the ball back there. And then they showed the full replay. And we've had some. But it is hard. Go back to your point, Gil. It's very hard on the on picking the winners against the numbers. I'm telling you, it's tough.
The Dolphins play, you're right, is not. It was. We laughed our way through that entire play because we all thought it was like, well, he's not eligible. But he, not for one nanosecond, cared about it. He's like, this is my moment to shine. I've dreamt of this my entire life. He's like, have you ever coached flag football? It's the 11-year-old kid that comes up to you and says, Coach, can I go out for a pass once? That was him on that play.
The post-game interview with him on the NFL Network was outstanding. He was a high school tight end.
Oh. Okay?
And he had a great self-deprecating sense of humor about it. You know, so I really enjoyed watching him in that play. Yeah, but DeSean Jackson, now hopefully he steps up against Cincinnati and gives us a little bit of a deep threat.
Well, before we get to our picks, we want to get Mikey's Survivor, because Survivor is the most incredible thing going. Can I just ask you one sort of broad question? Because as, you know, amongst that team 3,000 miles away and a decade ago, obviously, there's the horrible Henry Ruggs tragedy where a young lady lost her life.
Right.
And now you have, what's the third one? I'm already forgetting. The third big thing. In the Damon Arnett, correct. Brandishing and making threats with weapons. How much do you get into that on your broadcast at all?
Well, we mentioned it, certainly the game after Ruggs, which coming out of the bye was at the New York Giants. So what I've always felt, Gil, is when you're doing games and you have a situation like that, cover it at the top of the broadcast and then move on.
Yeah.
Because you've got the game in front of you.
Because you don't want to not acknowledge
it. No, you have to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so damaging. And, of course, we'd had a couple of weeks after Gruden had been forced out. But now when you look back, as I look back on the sequence of events, okay, and there are three very different separate events. One of them, obviously, the tragedy with the young lady losing her life. The demise of the Raiders right now, in my opinion, is attributable to the ouster of John Gruden. This is clearly John Gruden's offense, and he is the one who makes the changes, who made the changes during the game. Darren Waller was open when Gruden was the head coach because he orchestrates tight ends to get open. He uses three at a time. Now, I'm not putting Coach Olson down, but the creative mind behind this offense and the improvement of Derek Carr clearly was attributable to John Gruden. Okay, so that now we've got that. And they had plugged Ruggs in as a deep threat. Now, he didn't catch a lot of passes, but the defense always had to be aware.
Yeah.
And frequently they would put their best corner on him, okay, or the fastest, to stick with him. And that clears out things for stuff to happen underneath. That's why DeSean Jackson could be so happy. Damon Arnett should have never been drafted, okay? He was trouble from the get-go. I think he wrecked six cars in this town, I think, or something.
Jeez, that's all.
So let me say this about John Gruden. As an offensive guru, he gets an A to an A+. He knows what he's doing. As a director of player personnel, he gets an F, okay? And that's why, in my opinion, ownership of any team in this league, even though these guys and their agents are going to say, oh, he's got to have control of the player, never give it to a coach. They're two separate jobs, and they're two very difficult jobs, okay? In fact, let's look at Andy Reid, one of the best coaches in the league, right? Pay attention to player personnel. They went out and remade the offensive line. I'm sure they asked him, what do you think if we pick up Brown from the Ravens? We have to give up our number one draft choice. Andy, what do you think? And he approved, go ahead, of making that move. But it was the guys in the front office who decided which of those players. And so they lose their first one. And then in the draft, they get a center and a right guard. They've got two rookies on that offensive line. They're both outstanding. The youngster who's the center for the Chiefs, one of the highest rated centers in the league right now, and he's only a rookie and was not a first round draft choice. The Raiders, they trade Khalil Mack. They trade Amari Cooper, and they have failed to replace them with their first-round draft choices. So
yeah,
that's how I look at it.
I guess Jimmy Johnson might be the only example of a GM/coach that ever worked.
Yeah, and
that was a unique circumstance.
That was Herschel Walker.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and made the big move with the Vikings. But believe me, Jerry Jones had a word in who they were going to pick.
I'm sure.
Let me tell you that those two egos, okay, were huge. Yeah. But they complemented each other very well.
Mikey, at this time of the show, we always like to get, before we get our best bets, a Circus Survivor update. The carnage has been unbelievable, and I even did a deep dive myself. First 7 weeks of the season, no underdog of 7.5 or more had won a single football game. So you went from 41-80 to 21-31 in these last 15 days of football, 3 weeks worth. We've gone from 21-31 to 173. Wow.
That's correct.
It's phenomenal.
Now, you remember last year there was the argument, well, 35 people went 18-0, right? Mm-hmm. We said, are the rules strict enough? I mean, if we get four times as many people, is there going to be 150 people? Or was it an aberration that the Jaguars and the Jets, you could almost rotate going against them every week? Except obviously with the Rams, that fateful week, right? I mean, but yeah. People use that, right? So I said to Jeff Benson, it'd be interesting to know with 1380, where were we after week 10 last year? We had 88 left. So we have double that now, 173, but we have three times as many players. So the attrition rate is higher this year after 10 weeks. 4.3% is left versus 6.2% last year in the Survivor. And it's more difficult because you have those 2-3-game windows. And not just those windows, but then the Sunday that follows is a shortened week, right, because those three games are out of it. So Thanksgiving and Christmas will be interesting. Now, people said save Dallas, save Dallas, save Dallas for Thanksgiving. But, I mean, half the people that advanced last week used Dallas.
One guy who had the full six used three Dallas, and he already had used Buffalo.
Yeah. So
there's 173 left. And the best we can tell, three people have three entries left. Two have 18 left, and everybody else seems to have one.
Single.
We think. It's amazing. You guys did an awesome job.
Only eight of the 173 have the Colts left, which really you should have used the Colts last week if you still had them left. I don't think you could use them again, right? You're not using them against the Cardinals. Everybody has Tennessee. I think Tennessee at home to San Francisco the Thursday before Christmas will be a really popular play of those that are left in it. And Dallas still, but do you take a shot with Justin Fields and the Bears on Thanksgiving if you don't have Dallas left? I mean, I don't know.
Thanksgiving, 170 have New Orleans left, 170 have Las Vegas left, 172 have Chicago, everybody has Detroit.
Yeah.
So Thanksgiving's going to be interesting. But you're right, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, carnage.
Are you still in it, Gil?
No, I lost on the Bills losing to the Jaguars.
Oh, mercy.
And you brought up the Colts. By the way, I would have lost twice since then, too, so I can't get too upset anymore. I would have lost on Baltimore. I would have lost on Pittsburgh. The Colts, and this is not scientific at all, but if someone asked me, who do you think was the key team as to when they were used, I think it's the Colts. Because for those of us who use them early, they became a non-option later. And it's the people that just timed it luckily that way with the Colts avoided all the wreckage, yeah. You know. All right, best bets because Mike has a show to do. It's called Odds On.
I want to ask you, what did you think of Bill Parcells as the GM coach when he was with the Jets? I thought he might have been the most successful true GM coach. I mean, he took him to the championship game.
Yeah, the exception proves the rule. Yeah. But I would never give a head coach because it's clear that what they do is they go to the Alabamas and the Clemsons, they go to the marquee programs. But if you look at the rosters of the most successful teams in the NFL, it's quite clear that they don't look at the power teams in college football. I mean, you can go to small schools and find youngsters who wind up being terrific players for you. Now, quarterbacks wind up in the first round being highly political. And when I say that, I mean ownership always likes to get their fingers into it. That first round tends to be a lot of pressure from the ownership group. I want to go to the San Francisco 49ers. Mm. It was clear to me that when they made that trade to move up to number three, they clearly had their eyes on Mac Jones. There was no doubt in my mind. And then suddenly came this public pressure. You've got to have a more athletic quarterback. You've got to have somebody who can run around back there. Okay, if you want to. That forced them to go for Trey Lance after Lawrence and Wilson went 1-2, okay? And now, if we were to grade the five quarterbacks who went in the first round, Mac Jones is in a different league, okay? He's clearly the most. He's even better than Trevor Lawrence. Now, Lawrence may catch him down the stretch as Jaguars get better. But right now, if you were to choose one of those five quarterbacks to go out and win a football game for you, you choose Mac Jones.
Well, Trey Lance.
Yeah, Brent, you also have to think he gets to go with Belichick. So I think there has to be. Of course, I agree with you. Obviously, Mac Jones has been the most successful, but I also think there has to be an adjustment made. If you were to put Trey Lance with Belichick, or if you were to put any of the other guys with Belichick, they might have also looked better as well.
Because totally disagree. Totally disagree with you. Okay,
really?
What did he do with Cam Newton?
Okay, well,
Belichick's not a quarterback coach. Okay, he's a great defensive coach. Took a year off and let Tom Brady win a Super Bowl someplace else. So, it's Mac Jones who's the most accurate of the five. And Belichick's not out there throwing a football.
No, I agree Mac Jones has been the best. I just think you also have to adjust the head coach is part of the situation. It's not just quarterback.
No, I would agree with that, but we were just talking about flat out the five quarterbacks.
At 12, though, they could have gotten Mac Jones at 12 if that's who they wanted. They didn't need to go up to trade up to get Mac Jones, right? Or do you think it goes differently? And if
well, that was the part that Lombardi is not, like Michael, yeah. Our own Michael Lombardi is not sort of, that's the disconnect. It's the bets during the draft were about what you said, which is, well, they can probably get Mac Jones later.
At 12.
So the bets were made because of that thinking, not because people thought Trey Lance was better than Mac Jones. Right, and I think there's a disconnect in that sort of narrative that we're talking about.
You know,
by the way, Brent, one other thing.
Sure.
Didn't Belichick go 11-5 with a second stringer from USC named Matt Castle? I believe that was one of the greatest head coaching jobs of all time. When Brady got injured in the first quarter that season, I believe it's 2008, and then Castle, he went 11-5 with a guy who didn't even start in college.
No, I would agree with that. However, I would also say that was a terrific defense. That year, you want to talk defense, and I'll talk Belichick. Okay, that's what he features.
Oh, agreed.
Okay,
agreed.
And if you go to the Cleveland Browns era with Belichick, it's a little bit different. Okay, so the individual himself, the most important thing about any quarterback is accuracy. Accuracy. You must be accurate, and you have very, very small, tight windows. Now, I listened to somebody, I don't know where he was. What's all this hype about Mac Jones for? He didn't even throw for 200 yards. And I'm saying, You don't have to throw for a lot of yards to win games in the NFL. You got to get the ball in the end zone. You got to control the clock, and you got to have more points than the opponent. There's a lot of hype about numbers that mean nothing once a game is over. The two most important things, you must have an accurate quarterback, and you must do something with your possessions. People don't realize you're only going to get the ball 10 times in an average game. That's all you're going to get. The Raiders, okay, they had 10. We've had the last 20 possessions, we've turned the ball over 5 times. That's 25. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't turn the ball over a quarter of your possessions. That's what you must. And so what you need to do, what handicappers need to do, in my opinion, is go back and look at a team's possessions, okay? What did they do during that particular possession? How did it end? 3-and-out is horrible. It gives the other team more time. You can't have 3-and-outs, and you can't have turnovers.
Can I ask you this question?
Sure.
Which is worse for your team, to go 3-and-out or to miss a field goal?
I think 3-and-out.
Okay.
To your point, Brent, New England, 45 points, right, unanswered against the Browns after they spotted the Browns a 7-0 lead this past week. The Browns allowed 6 touchdowns and 1 field goal on a grand total of 8 Patriots possessions, excluding kneel downs. They only had 8 possessions all day.
Amazing.
6 touchdowns, 1 field goal.
Because they're
running
the ball. Because the Patriots are doing the old school defense and run the ball, and they're keeping the ball away from their opponent. That's why I took the Patriots 41-1 to win the Super Bowl and 32-1 to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but that might definitely be hedgeable later in the season.
Last thing also before we get to the bets, the thing about San Francisco, which is also interesting, not only did they draft Trey Lance and are not using him at all, not even in goal line packages anymore, but they drafted Trey Sermon from Ohio State. Everybody, including myself, thought, oh, this is going to be a great Trey Sermon year. They prefer Elijah Mitchell over Trey Sermon. They even put Debo Samuel in the backfield now. And then there's Ayuk, who just by performance doesn't really do. So they have all these draft picks, and they're not even the key to any Niners success at all. Whatever success they're having.
You know, my wife's not an expert in any way, so I don't. But she looked at me during the 49er, we were in commercial, and the 49ers were dominating the Rams as they normally do. And she said, why does everybody say they want to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo? And I thought, you know, sometimes someone who doesn't pay attention,
yes,
but just happens to, and I'm thinking, because he was playing well, they were using him on those mid-range passes, throw quickly. The way you negate a tough defensive line, and believe me, the Rams are tough to deal with, okay? Throw quickly, throw those short, intermediate routes, and keep pounding the ball at him.
Kyle Shanahan, pound him at him.
It was, for someone who was under fire, Shanahan bounced back. But if you look at their record within the NFC West, he would like to play the Rams every week, okay? Because he doesn't do so well against the Seahawks and the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I must point that out.
All right, let's do best bets because Mike Palm hosts a show called Odds On with Amal Shaw.
Talk about Thursday night, usually like.
Oh yeah, any thoughts on Thursday night, Brent? Any on tonight's game, New England at Atlanta? New England favored by 6.5 or 7 in some spots.
Yeah, you know.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
I would pass maybe an end game if you want to entertain yourself. And I'll tell you why. The Falcons are coming off a horrible, their worst game of the year. Matt Ryan, maybe Matty Ice's worst game ever. But it's a short turnaround. It's hard for road teams. It is really hard. Baltimore demonstrated that clearly. We all should have been saying, get on the Dolphins, because the Ravens were forced into overtime on a Sunday. You got to travel. You got to go to South Florida. You're going to have some humidity. Now, I know this is an inside game down in Atlanta, but I pass on the side. I'm certainly not going to go against, as Todd pointed out, the Belichick coach team in this situation. And the Falcons defense is clearly, clearly subpar this year. You know, the unders, there were 14 teams. I counted up just when you guys were finishing up, coming up here. There were 14 teams in the National Football League last week that did not score 20 points.
Jeez.
Think about that. Yeah. So now, if this game was outside, I would say attack the under, okay? Because that's where now we should be looking at some of these games, okay? And I've got one in particular when we talk about our best bets that I think the public should look at it long and hard on the under. So that's why I'm not going against the Patriots, but I don't want to give 6.5 on this game.
I'm even scared to tease the Patriots side. Are you doing anything, Mikey, for this?
No, nothing.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots will win, but I won't bet on it.
Yeah. Toddy? Todd?
I think that in the NFL, if you're going to bet teams that have lost by 30 points against a team that won by 30 points the week before, you're going to lose a lot of money. So I will pass this game because of the fact that the Patriots look so good and the Falcons look so bad, and I don't want any part of taking Matty Ice, because that's the only way I would look at this. So I'm off this game.
It's not bad advice at all. That's an old-school handicapper saying. Teams never look as good as they do one week or as bad as they look.
No, Todd's spot on.
Amal is right also, and brings this up, when teams get embarrassed. Teams get embarrassed like the Falcons did, which was a national game, that game Atlanta-Dallas, if you can believe that, was a national game last week on Fox. They will come back with a better performance when a professional athlete gets embarrassed.
Did that close at 10? Might be the double digit?
Yeah, 9.5. Okay. Now, I want to ask you this.
Sure.
In hindsight, you said we should have been on Miami. We shouldn't have played Baltimore.
Right.
But who knew that field was painted mud? I mean, that field was unplayable. And they just blitzed him. He couldn't move. You could just slip in. It was like on ice back there. It took away his mobility.
Home field advantage, my friend.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Get the groundskeepers on you. You're a baseball guy. Yeah, you know what gets watered down in front of home plate.
That was unbelievable. Okay. Between the hashes, there was no grass there at all.
But don't you think, like, two of the biggest themes of last week were teams that couldn't get the other team off the field, right? Washington, Tampa Bay couldn't get Washington off.
10.5 minutes.
Rams couldn't get San Francisco off.
We couldn't get the Chiefs off.
Raiders couldn't get the Chiefs off. The Chiefs were 9 of 15 on third downs, and then three of them got on fourth downs. But the other one was the book being, you know, scripted now against some of these people. So Miami had 24 plays, 24, where they sent defensive backs in on a blitz against Lamar. And in fact, in one play in the second half, they sent four defensive backs.
Exactly.
Four of them. And
emptied it.
No answers.
Because you got the coach from Holy Spirit Absecon, Greg Roman. He's got no business in the NFL, okay? He can go back to New Jersey and coach in Division III in New Jersey.
Oh, hold on now. Roman's done a good job with Lamar. Come on, my man.
He could not adjust. He has a hard time. Well, when they get behind in the playoffs, they get all discombobulated, Brent. We've seen this 2 years in a row. As soon as they get down two scores, they totally abandon their running game.
Yeah, but this year now they have come from behind a couple of times in games. Yeah. Okay. Well, I agree with that. I always thought that scenario about Lamar and the Ravens. But I'll tell you, in a couple games this year, one of them was
Colts. Colts on Monday night.
Colts.
They were down by 11, 35-24 against the Chiefs.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, well, they got luck with a fumble there, too, though. I mean, that was very fortunate for them.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it. Best bets. Brent, we start with you, sir. You're first.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Seattle, okay? Because I'm not sure that even if Murray is able to go, that he will be. It's an ankle injury. He seems to get beat up less than a year. So you've got the Seattle Seahawks, a home underdog, okay? It moved from 2.5 down to 2. So early smart money came in quickly on the Seahawks. The over-under has already fallen to 48, but under 50 would have been something to attack on Monday when it first came out. But my best play of the week is going to be the Seattle Seahawks at home, coming off the worst performance of Russell Wilson's career.
First time he's been shut out in his 10-year NFL career as a starter. Mikey, your first best bet.
Todd, what's the number on the Eagles?
Our court stenographer, Todd Wishdev, with the ruling.
Philadelphia Eagles are, I have 1.5 most prevalent.
I'm going to take the New Orleans Saints plus 1.5 in this game because for a few factors. You know, and I don't know what Brent's opinion on this is, but the Saints outplayed the Titans in Tennessee on Sunday, and just a horrific roughing the passer call where his chest hit Tannehill's shoulder on an interception in the end zone. That totally changed that game.
Completely
that game should have been 9-6 New Orleans minimum at half. Instead, it's 13-6 the other way.
And I had the Titans. It completely changed
Completely changed that game.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think that this offense, this Oklahoma Sooner offense of Philadelphia it can beat Sean Payton. This is a good New Orleans defense. Hurts is going to have to throw the ball to beat him. And I don't think he can. I don't think Hurts can be accurate enough from the pocket to beat New Orleans. New Orleans finds ways to move the ball. I know that they don't have the quarterback that they wanted, but they find ways to move the ball. They can use Taysom Hill in these short packages. I'm surprised they didn't use him more down there on the goal. They struggled on first and goal to go in that game. And that was the other thing that cost them. I think New Orleans is the better team here. I don't think that they should be a road dog, actually, at all. I'll take 1.5 or whatever it is, Todd.
The wise guys, all the bookmakers tell us this year that the wise guys love the Eagles.
This game might go to 3 by Sunday. Every Eagles game moves 2 to 3 points on Sunday.
So I asked Chrissy Andrews on Monday during Guessing Lines, what do you think is at play there? Why do they love the Eagles? And he says, it's funny you ask. I tried to figure it out myself. And he says, I think it's the defense. I think they really weigh the defense more than the average bettor does. The Eagles have given up in 5 different games this year, 18 points or less. 18 points or less in 5 different games. Todd, your first best bet, sir.
My first best bet is going to be the under 45 in the Jacksonville Jaguars game against the Niners. If you look at the Jags this year, they struggle to score the football. I feel like the Niners are starting to become a better team on defense. I really like how they played against the Rams defensively the other day. I'm still not sold on Jimmy G, but I don't need to be sold on Jimmy G on this game because I'm just looking for defense. I think they're going to hold Jacksonville to less than 14 points. If so, my under 45 is probably a very nice number. San Francisco held the Rams to 10 points. They've held at Arizona, they held Murray to 17 points. They struggled against Colt McCoy, I'll give you that. But I think they can come up with something against Jacksonville because Jacksonville, they just can't score points. 17-9-7 last 3 games. I want the under.
Under in the Jacksonville game for Todd. Powering right through Brent's wife's advice that Jimmy G is actually a good thing.
No, I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying he's not the Super Bowl quarterback he was 2 years ago. He throws too many balls right to the other team, and they drop him. And he gets so many lucky non-interceptions. Although, I will grant you this, he has been better the last couple weeks. But
Mikey?
The guy throws so many balls.
I'm sorry, Todd. This is much more important. Mikey, would you like a drink? Brent, would you like a drink?
Would you like something to drink?
No, thank you very much, though.
No betting in Buds?
I pass at this hour.
Live at the D.
Yeah.
Come back at 5 this afternoon, miss. here we go.
Live at the D here to do the Megapod. My number one play, I don't know if it's my number one, but it's certainly up there. I'm taking the Houston Texans plus the points. Am I getting the hook there, 10 and a hook, Todd, or just 10?
Texans, let's see. We got 10 and a half, I think.
10 and a half, that's what I want. I made a bet 2 days ago on the Tennessee Titans to win the Super Bowl at 11-1.
Good price.
Yeah, I grabbed it while it was still there. Listen, the whole point of this team to me right now is betting against them on this game because I think it's way too many points, but I think they're going to be the number one seed. I think they're going to get Derrick Henry back, and I think they're going to the promised land. It just sets up beautifully for them. They've beaten all the tough teams on their schedule. They have the easiest remaining strength of schedule in the National Football League. And Derrick Henry's timing of the injury is going to be before the postseason, and they might be able to set it up where they get not only 1 week of rest, but maybe two if they don't need to play in week 18. But the point is, right now, they're not very good. They don't have Henry. Their defense is kind of suspect when the offense doesn't allow them to stay off the field. And I just think this is way too many points. Tyrod Taylor is a good quarterback. I get it. The Texans are bad at football. But the way that the Titans played against the Saints, as Mike said, that roughing the passer penalty was everything in that game. They probably lose otherwise. I like the Texans plus the points on Sunday.
I don't disagree with that, simply because this has been such an impressive run by the Titans. Okay, it started with the Jaguars, but then you go look at the other five that they've taken down. That's some elite teams. And sometimes, as you know, there's a regression down here. So I don't, and Tyrod Taylor should be better.
Yes.
Having one game under his belt when he comes out, and they might be able to stay in with that number. So I think you could be right on the money with that one.
I hope so. Number two for
I hope
you,
we get Tyrod Taylor from the beginning of the year instead of that game against Miami.
Yes, that's true. He was not good in that game.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm interestingly enough, I'm going to move to Monday night. I'm going to take, I'm assuming it's sitting at 11 right now. The Buccaneers are favored. I'm going the other side.
I'm
going to go with the Giants. The Giants have won, now they've only won one game in a row, and that was against the Raiders. And they had their bye week, but they've covered the last three games. And the reason why I was impressed with them, I thought their defense was better than I expected, okay? Now, obviously, Jones can turn a ball over at any time. We know that. That's his big weakness. But there's some major injuries with the Buccaneers that I don't think we – Tom Brady loves, all his life, has had a go-to guy, a security blanket. That's why he – beg Gronkowski to come out of retirement, okay? And if you look at what Gronkowski has accomplished for Brady through the years, then number two, he talked to Antonio Brown and he talked the organization to take a gamble. Both those guys are out. So you want to make sure, check that injury report. We'll have a lot of things coming out before you make a play on this. And knowing the public, they're going to pound some more money in on Tom Brady. And at 12 and a half, something like that, it could get there. I'm going to take the Giants and the points on Monday night.
Brent's number two is my number two, so I'm going to jump in here. I'm also on the Giants. I love that play. I think it's just like with the Titans. I think this is way too many points. I watched as much, you know, maybe every play of that Washington-Tampa Bay game on Sunday. And Brent is right. Tampa Bay, it's not some one bad game thing. They have serious problems with the personnel on offense, and their defensive secondary is so depleted. And I don't know what the Vita Vea story is, but he was carted off the field against Washington as well. So I'm not sure what his status is. I should probably know that. But I just think they're not a very good football team right now, just based on personnel alone. I happen to think they hit a royal flush to win the Super Bowl last year, too. I was not nearly as sucked in by their run as some others were. By the way, Vita Vea's knee injury, not as serious as feared. So that's good news for the Buccaneers long-term on Vita Vea as far as this week is concerned. I'll try to get an update on that. But I like the Giants plus the points, and I think the Giants here coming off extra rest, that doesn't hurt either. So that's my number two.
Brent, what did you think of Arian saying he has a dumb team after the game?
I might have told him that privately in the locker room. Okay. He is brutally honest, and so maybe the team understood that, okay, going through. I mean, He never plays to his team. If he's pissed off about something, they will know about it publicly, okay? And so, whereas I would not have done that, as a coach. Arians, on the other hand, that's who he is. So he lived up to his reputation, if you will.
In fact, there was a pool reporter who said after the game to Arians, second straight week that Brady's had multiple interceptions. Can you speak to what was going on maybe with the receivers? And Arians stone-faced looked back at her and said, nah, it has nothing to do with the receivers. It was him, meaning Brady.
Yeah.
Jeez. By the way, Vita Vea out this week.
And people said, oh, he was very critical of Tom Brady. He answered a specific question. He wasn't saying Brady's the reason we lost. You know, yes. They were saying, whoa, he threw Brady under the bus. He asked the question about the receivers, and he didn't say, you know, like Brady should have stopped the 19-play drive to end the game or anything.
What are you drinking? That looks so good.
Some sort of a concoction here, the pineapple and cranberry.
Anything else in there, Mikey?
No. Okay. It's too early. As Brent says, it's too early.
is that Brent's go-to? I thought you are looking live was always his signature.
Yeah. Jackpot, baby.
Jackpot, baby. That's the new one. It's too early. I didn't know that was one of his three most famous ones.
It's too early.
Mikey, what's your number two, man?
Todd, what's the Packers number?
The Green Bay Packers, I have them at around two and a half, we'll say. Let's just be fair, two.
Is it two or two and a half?
We'll make it for purposes. It looks like two is a little more prevalent, so we'll say two.
It ain't even up there. I mean, looking,
Where are you, Circa?
Yeah, it's not there.
My Circa app says it's gone down to 1.5.
Really? All right. Well, then let's take two with the Vikings.
Yeah.
I want the Minnesota Vikings here in this game, okay?
I love them in a teaser, but that's later.
Well, I think they're going to win the game straight up here. This is a very talented team. I thought, that Zimmer finally coached with a little bit of aggression against the Chargers last week. Finally took some chances.
One of the biggest calls of the year.
Yeah.
The fourth down call.
Yeah.
No field goal. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
Let's put him away.
Yeah.
And he did by getting the touchdown.
And he's
that's a money call.
Right.
Okay.
He's been so apt to kick field goals this year, right? And,
absolutely.
And you got to kick three field goals
for
one touchdown.
By the way, that cost them the win against Arizona, if you will. The time
absolutely
was running out,
yeah,
so you had to kick in that situation.
Yeah.
But they miss it.
This is a very talented.
They may be the most entertaining team in the league.
Yeah.
They go down to the last possession.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every game. I think they win this game. I think they're a playoff team. I think they showed what they can do last week at SoFi. And this run for the Packers. Now, the Packers have covered every game since that debacle in Jacksonville in week one, right?
Yes.
Every single game.
Everyone.
Not through great offensive output. You know what I mean? Not through great, but their defense is very good.
Very good.
Very. I'd like to see this team play at Dallas and see what their defense would do against Dallas. Because I don't think Dallas has played a defense of this caliber yet. I know they played Vic Fangio, but that was such an aberration, that game there at Jerry World. Anyhow, I think the Packers' run ends here in Minnesota. The Packers can afford to lose this game. Not that that's in their mind, but they have a big lead in the division. The Vikings need every game now. Their playoff push has started. And I think, frankly, the Vikings are just about as good a team as the Packers.
Well,
we just haven't seen it.
They could be three games better.
Absolutely.
Right?
So give me two, Todd, with the Vikings.
Todd.
You got it. I was going to do that also, but I'm not going to do it now because of two reasons. One, you did it, Mikey. And number two, I still don't want to be betting on Kirk Cousins. He just drives me. So for my number two pick instead, I'm going to go with Indianapolis Colts plus 7.5. I think the Colts are – I really like what Frank – I've always liked Frank Reich as a coach. I like what he's doing with them offensively. And 7.5 in an NFL game.
Wait a minute. Are you seeing a half? Where's the half?
Nowhere.
Todd? There's no half.
Nowhere.
Here. This is 7 everywhere. Stop it.
Okay. I have 7.5 at Bookmaker, 7.5 at Pinnacle, 7.5 at Five Time, 7.5 at Bovada. But if you want me to take 7, that's fine. I'm just looking at the same thing I always look at. If you want me to take 7, fine. I'll take 7.
Well, let me just give you here in Las Vegas on these. MGM, 7. Caesars, 7. Circa, 7. FanDuel, 7.
Fine. So I'll take 7. That's fine. Okay. I wasn't trying to cheat you. I was looking at the same thing I was looking at for the other. Colts plus 7. I just think you can get a lot of points. Oh, very nice. You guys are sparking at each other. Very nice. Okay.
Yeah.
I could have asked Civic, what's the line? I'll take Colts plus 7 and watch them win outright just because you bastard.
Todd, that's
here's the joke.
But that's the wait a minute. I'd like to interrupt you. That's the point. Why didn't you ask when you saw
that's
it split
right
half and half? We asked.
I
we're there. I trust whatever
on
you
my
say.
I have all 7.5.
I mean,
on my screen, I have all 7.5.
This was so, what you whatever. Only are looking at screens for offshore? You don't do any legal betting?
No, I just put up, I have like 6 or different lines on.
You're in Pennsylvania. You have a bunch of options. Why are you looking offshore?
Mikey, made your point. I'm willing to take the 7 and wait till the Colts win outright, and it's not going to matter.
Man, I may get up every Thursday.
You're invited every
show, right? I'm telling you.
Friends, guys, they love to attack me. They just love
every show degenerates into this.
Over look, by the half point, Todd. Just buy the half point, okay?
Look, Brett, as I told all these guys and I tell everyone a million times, I will not be betting a single one. people. I bet in-game you get a lot more information.
Yes, you do. Point. I agree.
And I'm doing very, very well this year with my in-game and not doing well on pre-game.
Yeah. I wish I didn't drink so much pre-game. I do in-game too, you know.
But anyways, I just think the Colts are too good offensively to be getting 7 points. I really like what they're doing offensively. The Bills have been up and down the last couple of weeks. I believe they knocked out a good friend of mine in Survivor by scoring 6 points against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Granted, they scored 45 last week against the Jets, but throw that out. Everyone scores on the Jets. The week before against Miami, they really struggled to win that game, even though they covered 26-11. They really struggled against Miami. And the week before that, they lost to Tennessee. So are the Bills this good juggernaut, or are they, you know, a better-than-average team? I think they're just a better-than-average team, and I think they'll stay close. I'll take the Colts plus 7, and the Lions are different.
We apologize for Todd's choppy audio the last couple weeks, but he is on Indianapolis plus 7. Brent, your third and final.
Well, let me say, I'm not going to make this my third and final, but let me throw in on this game that Todd was talking
Please.
About. Driving in, I was listening to somebody who was saying that the weather is going to be real bad in Buffalo this week. And if so, look at that 49.5 to go under, okay? You've got a dome team going into Buffalo, and that still holds true about teams from a dome that encounter bad weather. So look at the weather. And you might want to go under. My third play, and honestly, I gave this out privately to a couple of people from Kansas City. Anytime you can get the Chiefs under 3, and it moved to 3 here in Vegas Sunday before the Raiders game. It moved to 3, okay, which means the money was coming in hard. You still got time to get a 2.5 here with the Chiefs at home. Again, a weather. Check your weather against the Cowboys. But that to me is value on the Chiefs anytime you can get them below 3. That's going to be the game of the week. It's a late afternoon Fox game, the Dallas Cowboys at the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know that I've got a recency bias having watched that Chief attack, but I want to go to the defensive side of the ball, okay? They are getting better. Go back and look at the last 3 games on defense, okay? We know we all came away and said, oh, Love is not ready. Oh, he can't play. Let me tell you something. That defense of the Chiefs was very, very good and very tough to move the ball on. Picked up Ingram, and it means more to that defensive front than people realize. You send Ingram in on situational plays, and you put him at defensive end with Clark on the other one. But that allows you to move your best defensive lineman, Jones, to the interior for the Chiefs. And I'm going to tell you, he pounds away. He destroyed our offensive line a couple of times. I know we're not the best offensive line in the world. The Cowboys are probably better inside in there. But I'm going to take the Chiefs because of the value on the number. If it moves to 3, move away. Don't even think about it. Okay, 3.5, forget about it. Run away. 2.5. I'm going to go for the Chiefs.
Pro Football Focus putting the Chiefs back as their number one team in their
Is that
power
right?
rankings. Yes. Yeah. Of course, they have priors from the preseason.
Yeah.
But they got as low as 3 in their power rankings.
Was that the lowest that 1. They went when yeah. they were struggling, Gil?
Yeah.
At home, Dallas Cowboys, they're going to go to the playoffs. They're already in the playoffs. Nobody got to challenge them in the NFC East.
Sadly, that is so true.
And whereas the Chiefs, and if you look at the circa numbers here on win Super Bowl, win the division and everything, I always come and look at that. The Chiefs right now are minus 150 to win the AFC West, okay? Conference winner, plus 395. That's one of the lowest out there. Go ahead and win the Super Bowl. This is a yes, no here at circa. Plus 800 to win the Super Bowl. Now, the ones that lower than that, the Buffalo Bills, are still sitting there at plus 600. The Titans and the Chiefs are at plus 800. So the people who work with the numbers and everything, they have seen that this Chief team has bounced and bounced big time.
What's the price to win the West?
To win the West is minus 150. You can get plus 200 on the Chargers. They're the two.
Brent, what are the Patriots to win the Super Bowl?
The Patriots to win the Super Bowl, yes, no, now. No is minus 2,800, but yes is plus 1,500, and the Bills are plus 600. So that's your yes, no on winning the Super Bowl here at Circa.
Michael Palmer.
Do you think that's a good price to bet the Chiefs to win the West? Minus 150?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Well,
and if not, who's winning it?
The Chargers.
Yeah?
They would be the only team that would have a chance.
I'm really disappointed in the Chargers. Their defense is
then it's Chiefs or pass.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think that's still cheap on the Chiefs. You could have got the Chiefs plus 220 a couple weeks ago to win the division when they were in
Chargers
last.
Chargers also have one game up on them, Mike, because they beat them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's
yeah
good.
The Chargers have the tiebreaker. Yeah.
Well, who cares? Yeah. But the Chargers have to play on the road against them at SoFi on
they
the road.
Again. Yeah.
Chargers play 17 road games. Nobody in L.A. cares about the Chargers.
When
nobody.
Let me tell you something about L.A., Mike. Live there. Been there. It's a front runner's town.
Yeah.
Okay. And if the Chargers were to suddenly start winning again, believe me, the fans will come. When we went in there on that Monday night and they kicked the Raiders' butt, okay, big time, the commissioner was there and I think he tipped Gruden off that trouble was coming down the line, or at least owner, Mr. Davis, tipped him off. And we didn't show up for that game. There were a lot of Charger jerseys and hats. I think they bought them at the intermission. They knew they were going to win the game. It's a front-runner city.
There are more Raiders. There's more Raiders fans.
Oh, yeah, well, we always.
By far.
L.A.
By far.
L.A. loves the Raiders.
Will L.A. turn on LeBron?
Not if they win.
Not
if they start to win.
They're not winning.
Well,
he will come up. Yeah, well, he'll have some bigger injury when they're not in contention.
You know, L.A. still loves beating up on the Celtics, and I think that's their next game this week. I think that's the Lakers go to play Boston. Tomorrow night.
I couldn't name all the teams, so I couldn't tell you. But interesting.
How you doing with the Grand Salami?
I bet it when there's a lot of games.
Well, tonight's a lot of games.
Yeah, a lot of games. There's only three last night. I want to ask you another question because this, you know, pre-flop picking's all nonsense. I want to ask you another question about.
Yeah, it's after the game is over. That's exactly. That's when we get real smart.
I want to ask you about the Gruden email.
Go ahead.
Now. Michael Lombardi, a friend of Todd and Gil's, said, are you familiar with the movie Absence of Malice with Paul Newman? Are you familiar with that movie?
Not really.
Okay, but he said to understand the John Gruden NFL, Washington Redskins leaking of emails and that, you have to watch this movie Absence of Malice, which was people intentionally leaking things to cause a public perception and put pressure on people. Was this situation with Gruden, is he just an unfortunate bystander in all of this, in the hunt for Daniel Snyder?
Whoever set out to get John Gruden is a mafiosa hitman. That's how good it was, okay? Let's go to the Wall Street Journal. Let's go to that side of the street to leak first. And let's give Mr. Davis 24, 48 hours to do something about this. And then when you don't, let's close the book. Let's give the rest of it to the New York Times, okay? All right, so there's that part of it. You aren't going to recover from a hit like that. It was professionally done, professionally orchestrated, in-game. Raiders had no place to go. Now, Let me go to what I told John Gruden himself over the telephone. Okay, when I called him the next day after he resigned. John and I are friends. I like him. I don't think he's a racist. But I said, John, people have said worse or the same in bars. Still saying it. I hear the words all the time. But I said, you don't put it in writing. So in other words, that was the stupid part. Okay? You don't. You can argue, people throw that out without really thinking about it, okay? And you should not have those thoughts to begin with. We're way beyond that particular era. You sure as hell don't sit down. I tell youngsters all the time, get off that telephone and get off that texting, Twittering, all that stuff, okay? Because it ain't ever going away. Here's a memo. Goes down the internet, it's there forever. And that was the fatal error. But trust me, whoever set out to get John, they knew exactly what they were doing. Okay? There was no wiggle room by the time those two newspapers brought that story out. And Mark knew it. Mark Davis knew it. That's why he and John settled up and went on his way. Now, so people have asked me about the lawsuit against the NFL and Roger Goodell. I said, well, we all like the lawsuit, but he's going to have to prove that it was the NFL that was involved in leaking that, and I don't think he can, to be perfectly honest. As an outsider looking at it, because there was another lawsuit that was involved with Gil's favorite owner, Snyder, okay, and Allen, right? Yeah. There's another lawsuit. A whole lot of people had access to those particular emails. Now, good luck in trying to prove it was somebody within the framework of the NFL.
So those emails were part of discovery of another lawsuit.
They were part of it. And that's where you're going to run into trouble.
I think most people of right mind have both thoughts, which is, one, no one condones what John Gruden wrote.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, I think even those of us who don't condone that and who would even, you know, say he dug his own grave on it, that to think that he is the guy who fell from that investigation on the Washington football team is outrageous. And you almost make a sympathetic figure out of him, if you can believe that. And rightfully so. So, I mean, I think it's unbelievable. Thank you for that insight into it, Brent, for being
honest about that. When are we going to get that Snyder guy's email? I'd like to see his email.
They'll never take him down, will they?
No.
Never.
Never.
My life is ruined, Brent. My entire life.
Is he a powerful owner within the community of owners?
You know, I don't know the establishment.
Yeah.
If Jerry, I would be tempted to say if Jerry Jones likes him, yes. So I don't know, okay?
Yeah.
Because I think that Jones is the most powerful owner in the league. And Kroenke, close, but he's still got a hell of a lawsuit against him in St. Louis that he hasn't been able to settle. And that'll kind of, but I honestly, I'm talking off the top of my head. I don't know the power structure of the NFL like I used to.
Mike, we got to get your pick.
Okay, I like the Bears. I'll take the Bears against the Ravens. I think the Bears defense is every bit as good as Miami. Now, will the field be wet at Soldier Field? Will they water it down? Will they take that? Are they going to throw a lot of zero blitzes at Greg Roman? Or will he have had 10 days to prepare for that kind of a package? I don't know. But I think this is a one score game either way here, because I don't think Baltimore has asserted their dominance on offense. I don't think they're going to run the ball at will against the Bears. And you're going to force, again, Lamar has to be accurate from the pocket. And I don't know if he can do that. I think it's too many points for a team at home.
Dodd.
What about the problem that the Bears can't score, Mike? What about that?
So you like the under, then, as your play?
No, I'm not.
Go ahead, it's
you.
Your pick. Go ahead, give your pick.
Mikey, you do not run the show. Gil runs the show. Gil's at my
pick. Gil doesn't run the show. You didn't even ask Gil if it was 7 or 7.5. Don't tell me Gil runs the show.
Number three, Todd. He gets so angry.
Mikey has not had his medication today, folks, so whatever. All good. The Cleveland Browns. Mikey, what's the line on the Cleveland Browns, Mr. Iowa?
I don't know. I'm not an illegal bettor.
Minus 11, Todd.
Yeah, 11.
Thank you. I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns minus 11. They got totally and completely embarrassed by Belichick last week. I think they're a slightly above average team, and now they get to go against the Lions. And the Lions aren't good. Let's just be real. The Lions stink. And the only reason they were in the game last week is because the Steelers stink. So the Lions basically, you know, they're going to have some decent games where they can be competitive, and they're going to have other games where they're going to get blown out like they did against the Eagles. And I think this is a good week for them to beat, to regress the blowout side of the Lions, because I think Cleveland can come in angry at home, and the Lions are going to have a hard time scoring like they always do. I can see the Browns putting a real thumping on them, 31-7 or something like that. So I'll take the Browns 9-11.
I say a little more 11.5 than I do 11, to be quite honest.
Fine, I'll take 11.5. I asked Brent. Brent said 11. Sorry.
I gave you the circa number.
Yeah. Brent was giving me.
I'm sitting in the circa.
Brent, can you see these guys? They everything they have to go after.
I hear it.
Todd, what is the Washington Carolina number?
Okay, I have 3s and 3.5s. So I'm just going to, and remember, I don't know what you're picking.
That's right.
So I'm going to say it's closer to 3.5.
Washington is the play at 3.5.
Were you going to take Carolina at 3?
No, I was not. No, Washington is the play.
You give 3.5?
I'll take the 3.5.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I'm taking the 3.5 on Washington at Carolina.
Yeah.
For those of us who grew up in the Washington, D.C. area in the
Georgia
80s, what we know to be a fact is that Carolina, when I was a kid, was Washington country. And so there is going to
True.
Be no home field advantage here.
That's a good point. And very good point.
Yeah, I don't, you know, as diminished as home field advantage is already in the NFL, this will be diminished even further. So the 3.5, this is going to be Cam Newton. And he scored a touchdown passing and rushing his first two, you know, his first pass and his first rush, and that was all lovely. But I don't know that we know he's going to be great or very good.
I thought Walker was better than him.
P.J. Walker had a good game. Yeah.
Honestly, I thought how they use Newton was what they should do.
That's what they should do.
Run
exactly.
him out there inside the 10-yard line.
Yes.
That's when I think he's the most dangerous because he can keep the ball running. I agree with Todd. I'd leave Walker out there to start the game. In fact, when I watched it, I said, man, I wish the Raiders would use Mariota inside the 10 instead of midfield where he carries the ball for maybe like get a first down, but he also got injured when he ran 31 yards. So,
the Steelers did with Slash, Brent. Remember Slash
or
Cordell Stewart?
Yes,
they had Slash
sure.
inside the 10?
Inside the 10. That's where you want to go to the quarterback who can run the football.
The only other thing I want to say about this is Chase Young is out for the year with
is he out for the year?
Blown out knee, ACL.
Do you downgrade that?
This is my point. I feel terribly for Chase Young. I love Chase Young. He was outstanding his rookie year. But as Lombardi and Rick Doc Walker, who comes on Lombardi, says, he runs up the field.
He just rushes. He just gets in the picture, but he never gets to the quarterback.
It's like, and so in some weird way, that defense might start to be more disciplined now and really achieve its full potential. So I think that's also something that doesn't get factored in. And so I know it's a poo-poo platter of picks, but I'm ending up with Houston, the Giants, and Washington. Those are my three picks this week.
Okay.
But I like your picks, actually, Billy. I think you're onto something here.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Can I change – can I make Mike feel really good and change the subject? Because I got to
– Sure.
Because Todd, obviously, looking at the offshore, this is where we might find this prop. I think Notre Dame has a good chance to make the college football play.
Wow.
Okay. I just bet a plus 550 yesterday, Brent. Plus 550.
Is that what you got? Was plus 550?
I was going to go to this after the teasers.
And you guys do teasers.
Well, yeah, we still have a couple things.
Who cares?
You really bury people's money.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute.
I have a ticket. You understand the power structure in college football as well as anybody, okay?
Right.
I have a ticket on Cincinnati to make the playoff.
God help you.
14-1. I looked at the schedule.
14-1.
I said they're going to go to Notre Dame. They just have to go to Notre Dame. They're going to
win.
If they win at Notre Dame, they should be in.
They did it.
Now, they did it. But if Oregon doesn't lose, they're not getting in. But if Oregon loses to Utah one of these two
times. They're going to have to play them twice.
Right. If they lose to Utah one
like
of these two times.
Like this week in Salt Lake.
Shouldn't Cincinnati get in, or are they going to keep? Neil Everett told me to tear my ticket up from ESPN. He said there's no way they're letting a group of five team in.
He's right.
Will they put a two-loss Alabama team in before Cincinnati?
No. Alabama's out with two losses.
They have to win.
You see, Brent, well, they put it. I've had people at ESPN tell me to my face, trust me, Gil, if Alabama loses a second time, they're not getting
they're
in.
They're not getting
in. And I don't believe
Tim Brando was on Mitch and Paul. He says they're getting in. Alabama's going to get in over Cincinnati, even with two losses.
I think he's right.
He said everything is set up for the SEC.
If they get blown out.
I'm not buying it.
You're not.
No.
So you think I have a decent shot at 14-1 to get
Absolutely.
In? Absolutely. Now I can hedge it.
I also like Todd's plus 550.
But how does Notre Dame get in? Then they have to get in with Cincinnati.
Well, you know, Cincinnati has not run the table yet. Oh, by the way,
doesn't it hurt Notre Dame if Cincinnati loses a game?
At 8-1. Listen, the Big Ten. Here's how you look at this. Okay. If Alabama loses like to Auburn or Georgia in the championship game, forget about it.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Georgia's in. We already know that.
Okay. Even if Cincinnati loses a game, they've had a good run this year. Okay. And Notre Dame has been very impressive in several games. Okay. And if they run the rest of the table, the Big Ten's going to eliminate itself. There's only going to be one Big Ten team left.
Yeah, Ohio
it's either
State.
Ohio State
or Michigan.
Michigan or Michigan State. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of those three. They're going to make it, okay? Last man standing. Unless, let's say the Ohio State stays unbeaten and then loses to Iowa in the championship.
Wisconsin,
whoever's in there.
It'll be Wisconsin.
Bada bing. Now you've got a real debate on your hand. I love Todd's bet at plus 550 because you guys are all talking about this SEC Alabama. Listen, there's still a very strong feeling. I know we understand the anti, but there's still a very strong feeling for Notre Dame. This is a hell of a program. I listen to people talk about, we got to get rid of that coach. What are you talking about? Do you know how good Notre Dame has been under Kelly at South Bend? Are you aware?
Yeah, he wins a lot of games and no national championship. He's the winningest coach in the history of the program.
So you're going to run him out?
Yeah, but
it's like these idiots at Texas. We're going to run Sark out. We lost to Kansas. Oh, by the way, go back to year one of Mr. Saban, and look at that Louisiana Monroe score against Alabama. Get off these. Everybody in college football, well, fire the coach. What are you talking about?
And also, Kelly doesn't get to recruit the top guys because they have to get in academically at Notre Dame. You got to give them credit for that.
Let me ask you that. So when you hear the weekly outrage about college football rankings and just the sport in general, are you almost outraged at the outrage on a week-to-week basis?
No, I smile. Because I've said for a long time that once you move to any kind of a playoff, it's going to grow. Because you're going to have so much criticism over picking teams rather than having teams play their way in, which is what any reasonable person would say, which is what we do in all big-time leagues, okay? You got to play your way in. And so when they finally expand after this contract runs out with ABC.
And they will.
And I'm assuming that they're going to go to two networks. I'm assuming that ABC and Fox will share the playoffs and probably rotate the championship game. They're going to make a ton of money, and that's the way it should be. Okay. So I no longer get out. I don't waste my time getting out. I look at it because I pay attention. I pay attention to the fact that Oregon's still ahead of Ohio State head-to-head. But how come Michigan State isn't still ahead of Michigan head-to-head, you know? So they're inconsistent even where they stand right now.
We said 3 years ago on your program that the 18 playoff is a very simple solution.
Absolutely.
Five power conferences, one group of five, and the next two at large.
At large.
12 doesn't work to me. It makes no sense to add another round to it as well. Eight is a good number.
I guess at 12 they're going to go home field, right?
Yeah, they'll give home field.
That's why they're doing it, too. Money.
And could you imagine the betting handle on those games, man? Oh, man.
Off the charts,
for sure.
Where will Matt Rhule be coaching next? Do you think he stays in Carolina, or does he take one of these great college jobs?
College.
I think he goes back to college. And where would you pick if you had your pick if you were Matt
Rhule? USC. I wouldn't even hesitate. I mean, the two glamour jobs are USC and LSU. But good luck in competing against all of those teams and recruiting. But you go into Southern California with the backing that you've got from that alumni group and a very winnable division in the Pac-12, I'm going to USC. I'm not even hesitating. That's been an easy answer. Now, I went through the Pete Carroll era, and he was charismatic, which is what you must have in Southern California. You must be able to go out and recruit because the alums in that USC alumni group. They'll help you, if you know what I mean.
I've got a sleeper name for you for the USC job.
Go ahead.
And I don't think they've said this, but I think they're already in negotiations with John Robinson to have another run there. Mike Bone is going to have a press conference, and he's going to announce a 10-year deal with 86-year-old John Robinson, and they're going to ask him, why would you go after John Robinson for a third time? And he's going to say, because John McKay died 20 years ago.
An attractive name, I'm not sure that he would ever leave the state of Ohio under Fickle. Any circumstances would be Fickle.
I would hire Fickle if I was Mike Bone.
Todd, you love Fickle, don't you?
Yeah. I can't stand him, Brent, because he's running the hurry up inside the 5-yard line 2 years ago in the bowl game. Less than 37 seconds left. He's running the hurry up in a 38-6 game. And trying to punch it in for no reason whatsoever except to run up the score. It was disgusting. I'll never forgive
him. You're leaving out the best detail of this, Todd. It was a driving rainstorm. There was a player getting carted off the field every other play, right? Everybody was getting hurt, and he's trying to punch it in on the last play of the game.
Todd had a bet.
I did, too. We all did because there was no scoring in the first half. We were all betting end game under.
Brent, have you ever seen a team run hurry up offense winning 38-6
no.
under 35 seconds left?
But Brent hasn't seen a lot.
No.
Brent hasn't, seen a
Brent
lot.
Brent hasn't
really.
Seen enough football games to really qualify here.
I contend it's never been done before in the history of college football running hurry up.
We better give a teaser.
Oh, mercy. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Give a teaser.
Gil, I didn't mean to change the subject.
No. I love it. I'm just.
You wanted to.
No, this is better than odds on. He's got to get to odds on.
Yeah, so I have to be stuck with a mall for an hour.
I know.
It's 10:40, so we got to get to these.
Whatever. Teasers. What are you going to do? Fire me?
Two leg, 6-point teasers of the week. Brent, your favorite. We'll start with you.
They have to be 6 points.
Yeah, so what I would do, the 6-point teaser, okay, I would look to where. You got okay. Let's start with the Giants because Gil liked them originally with the 11. So let me take it to 17. So I'll take the Giants with 17, and then I will pair that with Todd took Indianapolis at 7, and I'll go up to 13 with the Colts, 13.5, whatever you guys settle on. So I have learned my lesson, and I want to say this loud and clear: if you're gonna tease. Do not follow the lead of taking the 7 down to 1 all the time. Take the big numbers and take them up, okay? Tease up. And the reason why I'm emphasizing that is I never listened to my own advice. And I got buried by Tampa Bay.
Oh,
they
yes.
killed all my teasers last week, okay? And so I've learned my lesson. I'm going to tease up. So I'm going to take the Giants and the Colts upward.
You are not alone, sir. Everybody's been getting crushed on teasers the last couple of weeks. Todd, we want to snake this. You go first because you're in the lead on teasers.
Okay, my teaser pick this week is going to be the Saints plus 7.5. And I kind of agreed with Mikey's analysis there. I think the Eagles are a bit fraudulent. I know the wise guys love them. I still think the Hurts is a little fraudulent. And I think the Saints defense is outstanding. And you know what? Simeon's no different than Jameis. So it's really the same team. Give me the Saints plus 7.5. And then the other one, unfortunately, I have to do it. I'm going to take Kirk Cousins plus 8.5. I don't want it to, or plus 8. I don't want to do it because I hate betting on Kirk Cousins. It makes me crazy. But you know what? There has to be a point here where Green Bay throws a stinker at us. They're 9-1 against the spread this year. If we know anything about the National Football League, we know that you do not continue to be 9-1. Against the spread in the National Football League. But I think the Vikings plus 8, you know, they just have to keep somewhat close. Saints plus 7.5, Vikings plus 8 is my piece.
All right. I go second because I'm in second. I'm taking the Vikings. Listen, if they can't cover the 8 or the 8.5, then what are we talking about here? So it's the Vikings for me, but it is also the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to take the 8.5 on the Cowboys against the Chiefs.
Not a bad number. Also, let me throw in, take that over-under number in the Seattle game, take it up to 54 and go under.
Oh, bonus teaser leg. Mikey?
Mine's a three-teamer now.
Oh, I was going to say.
Vikings football team.
Oh.
Vikings 8.5, football team 9.5.
I like it.
No. We're going with, we gave you 2 on the Vikings, so that means it's 8. So, Mike, it's Vikes plus 8.
Okay, 8 and 9.5 with the football team.
Final two questions that we ask every week to end the Megapod. One, of all the big favorites, who is the most likely, in your opinion, to lose outright? And I'll give all the candidates. New England, 6.5 or higher. New England, 6.5 points tonight at Atlanta. The San Francisco 49ers, 6.5 point favorites at Jacksonville. Cleveland, 11.5 hosting Detroit. There's a lot of these this week. Buffalo, 7 hosting Indianapolis. Tennessee, 10-point favorites hosting Houston. And also Tampa Bay, 10.5 or 11-point favorites hosting the Giants. And finally, that's it.
What about Ravens?
Oh, and the Ravens.
Right,
the Ravens.
6.5?
Oh, no, it's gone down.
It's
no
six
longer
now?
A candidate. It's like 5.5 and
Are 5. Are you serious?
Yeah. 4.5 at Circus.
Yeah. Everybody's following me.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So those are all the candidates. Okay. Brent, who do you think is the most likely of all those to lose outright of the big favorites?
Oh, I'm going to pick the Patriots to lose.
I think that's mine.
I think
the Patriots are mine, too.
No, folks, the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. 41.
Oh, I forgot, Todd. I did. No wonder you asked me. What's the yes, no on the
yes.
I shouldn't have gone there because I know I opened the door for Todd to come. No, Brent, you're wrong, man. I love this dude, even with that strained audio that we hear, you know?
No, we got to work on that. Mikey?
I'm going to say the Cleveland Browns. Okay?
Wow.
Because you have to crawl before you walk. You have to walk before you run. You have to learn how not to lose before you learn how to win. And the Detroit Lions learn not how to lose in their tie at Heinz Field.
Good luck with Jared Goff.
Could be Tim Boyle. Might not be Jared Goff.
What happened to the kid from Purdue?
Blau. I don't know.
Yeah, he was good.
He wasn't that bad, though. Apparently he's third string.
Really? He got downgraded?
Boyle's a backup?
He's taking the first team reps. We didn't think so. We thought it was Blau.
Where's Boyle from? What college is Boyle from?
Boyle was he was a Green Bay Packer for a few years.
That's right,
in the NFL.
I saw him in a preseason game in Canada.
He went.
The Packers.
Did he go to a Did he go to a directional Michigan school? Let me check. I don't know the answer.
Let's
to this
check.
College. It's a directional something.
Football quarterback Tim Boyle. Eastern Kentucky,
Eastern Kentucky,
University of Connecticut.
Who could forget those years?
Why would Jim Moore take that job at UConn?
You can't back a quarterback who transfers to UConn.
Why would he take that job?
You know what I said
to Parles? He's desperate for the money?
You know what I said to Parles off air? I go, does he hate his family? No, why is he taking that job?
Why would he do that? It makes no sense to
UConn
me.
UConn is beautiful in December.
Todd, biggest favorite, most likely to lose outright.
You know, I'm going to say something crazy here. I think the Texans can beat the Titans. Yeah. The Titans are the most fraudulent good team that we've ever seen. If you look at their rankings, they're not ranked high in all the yards per play and all that stuff. I just think that the Texans, you know, obviously it's going to be surprised, right? But I'm just saying, I wouldn't be shocked. Tyrod Taylor is not that bad. If he plays like he did the first three games of the season, you never know. Tennessee's been on a tremendous run week after week. They could lose this game.
I like the Texans plus the points, so I don't hate it. All right, and the final question. If you lived in a bizarre world and you were forced to bet a side on each and every game, but you had one free pass, one game where you're like, I wouldn't bet that with other people's money. No idea. What game would that be, Brent?
Pittsburgh and the Chargers. I've got no idea if Roethlisberger is going to play. Chargers are erratic. I pass.
Same.
That's the one?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to take New Orleans, Philly. I just have no idea. I have no idea what Philly does because they're 200-plus yards rushing. No idea. Todd?
I would pass on the Raiders game. I have a Raiders over 7 win ticket, so I'm hoping they can pull it together and just get me a couple more wins before this year is over. But I just don't understand this team. One week they look great. The next week they knock me out of Survivor against the Bears. So I just don't understand the Raiders at all. I'll pass the Raiders.
All right, gentlemen. It is time for Mikey to leave, so we must leave as well. The man has a job, for God's sakes. Brent, I cannot thank you enough, and I'm not saying this in any way to aid you, but if I could tell my 10-year-old self that this day would happen or that you were kind enough to come on last year or that we did a podcast just you and I, it would just be – my head would explode. I would die as a child right there on the spot. So thank you so much.
Actually, I really enjoyed it.
Well,
you didn't
I hope so.
Brent,
yes. I had a great time.
I would say the same thing, except Gilly was a Washington football team fan growing up. I was a Pittsburgh, so I was watching Costas on NFL, the NBC on NFL.
Shame on you.
That's right.
Shame on you, Todd.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding around.
I mean, you miss all. Wonder you're struggling. You didn't listen to the Greek every week.
He's a Pete Axthome guy. He's a Pete Axthome guy.
Oh, Axthome was a great friend. Yeah. Oh, man, he was a great guy to go drink cocktails with in Greenwich Village, where everybody hung out in New York back in the day.
It was Bob Costas then. Was it Brian Gumbel or was it?
Yeah, that was Gumbel. Gumbel.
It was Gumbel. And then was Len Berman also a host at one point?
A little later,
A little later.
Yeah. A little later on.
I didn't spend much time watching that show, Todd. So.
You were working? Were you working?
Did you have something you were doing at that time?
He was with Charles Cantu.
No, in those days, there wasn't Sunday tickets, so we just got our Steeler game.
I know.
And, you know, we didn't get to watch all the other stuff. A lot of times we missed all the great NFC games.
Do you subscribe to DirecTV, the Sunday ticket?
Oh, of course. Every week I'm watching the 8-box screen, you know, screen with all 8 games on it.
Yeah, I know the 8-box. Know it well. Okay. Now, are you hoping that they stay on DirecTV, or are you hoping they switch to Amazon or somebody else?
No, well, first of all, okay, that's a great comment you're making. Because for in-game betting, which I love to do, I would say 90% of my bets are in-game. Streaming is a disaster.
Yeah.
Because streaming, you're like 45 seconds to a minute behind. DirecTV, you're like 25 seconds behind. It's terrible streaming. I really hope they do not go to streaming and you go to more live, situation.
Good
it's
point.
It's a great point.
It is a great point.
Yeah. Even on primetime action, when we do it at night in our VEASAN studios, we're about 10, 15 seconds behind.
I know.
DirecTV is like 25 seconds behind. If you watch the DraftKings and FanDuel line, you know what happened to play. You're like, oh, my God, here comes a big play for somebody because they shut the lines down and you see it changing. You know what happens before it even happens. It's crazy.
Yeah, we say on primetime, we're like, something about to happen because this line is down. Here we go. Yeah. Todd, thank you, man. Appreciate it as always.
Good to see you, Brent.
Good to hear you, my man, Todd. Good luck this weekend. Thanks back Sunday for Todd.
That's right. Bounce back for me and Gilly.
Thanks to everybody for listening. What a pleasure it was. Good luck with all your bets. Week 11 in the National Football League.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.